Well, it's good to worship the Lord and good to praise his name. Let us just pray as we open the word together. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your goodness, Lord, and for your grace, Lord. We thank you for your blessing upon us, Lord, and that we're able, Lord, to gather together in your name. And Father, we just pray, Lord, as we gather, Lord, that you'll speak to each and every one of us. Father, we just want to honor you and bless you with our lives, Lord. And so, Father, we just pray, speak to us as we open your word this day. Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, I want to talk this morning about corporate worship, about when we gather together, about worshiping the Lord and how important that is as our worship, and to actually be passionate worshippers. We've got a theme this year, which is on fire. We're talking about being on fire for God, on fire for the things of God. And you'll see a little subtext there. It talks about being a passionate worshipper. Well, that's what I want to speak about this morning. There's a story in the Old Testament in 2 Samuel. I think it's chapter 6, I think, from memory. Chapter 6 in 2 Samuel. There's a story of when there was the Ark of the Covenant had been taken captive, when Eli's sons and children of Israel, the Philistines, actually captured the Ark of the Covenant. And it was a travesty that they lost this Ark of the Covenant, the symbol of the presence of the glory of God. And the Philistines took that cart and the Ark of the Covenant. They set it up in their own temple next to one of their gods. And the next morning they come up and the statue of their god had fallen over, was broken. And so the other false gods that the Philistines had, that they were all broken and fell down, face down in front of, like, they're worshipping the Ark, which symbolized the presence of God. In the end, the Philistines had such problems by once having this Ark of God's presence among them, that in the end they decided to send the Ark back. Now, there's a little bit more story in there. But when the Ark of the Covenant came back, there's a story here when we have King David. Now, King David was the stately king, King David. But he was so excited that the Ark of the Covenant was coming back, which represented the presence of God, that David was just worshipping God with all his heart, with such a passion. He was jumping up and down and tumbling around and praising and singing and clapping and shouting, so excited that the Ark, which was the symbol of God's presence, was coming back. And he's jumping around and just worshipping God with everything that he is, so engaged, so excited, so inspired to love God and honor him and to worship him with everything that he was, and just overflowed in his life. He was focused on God when he was doing that. He wasn't focused on what other people were saying. He wasn't focused on what other people were thinking of him. He wasn't focused on anyone else other than God, and just loving God with everything that he was. And that was the heart of a real passionate worshiper as David, King David, came back. And he was the one who humbled himself before God. He wasn't there trying to look good. He was the king. King can try to look pretty impressive. He wasn't trying to impress anyone. He was actually just humbled himself before the Lord and was worshipping with everything that he was. But then you contrast that with his wife, Michelle. And she saw what David was doing. And there's something different in her heart. Because rather than entering into the joy, because there's a great throng of people celebrating, worshipping, she actually kept herself aside. In fact, she looked at David. And rather than looking at God and honoring and worshiping God, she actually took her eyes and she looked at David. And the scripture tells us in 2 Samuel 6, it tells us that she looked at him and she despised him. And at a time of worshiping God, she actually had an eye on other people, what they were doing, and actually on her own husband, and looked upon him and despised him in her heart, because she wasn't a part of it. She just came along. She was a spectator. She wasn't really wanting to enter in. She was an observer. And she just had the wrong attitude. She had the wrong attitude in a time of great celebration, in a time of great worship. Her heart was very, very hard. She wasn't focused on God. She was just really focused upon herself. She was conscious of God. And she was very critical and judgmental. In fact, later she has a go at David and says, look what you're doing. You're supposed to be the king. You know, you're dancing all around. And, he took off his kingly robes, and so he's just got his tunic and everything on, and he's dancing around and said, look, you've made a fool of yourself and humbled yourself in front of these slave girls, and really went to town at him. And he said, look, how could I not worship God? How could I not worship God. How could I not do that? And the sad thing, because of her heart, because she was not focused on God, she was focused on man, because she was judgmental and critical, and because she despised that and just wanted to be observer, didn't want to enter in, there was this barrenness upon her life. She never was able to have children all her life. And if we're ones that really don't enter into the things of God, but if we just stand back and just be an observer of the things of God, then there's an emptiness, there's a barrenness, there's something missing in our life. And she didn't find that. David had found that. He found a love for God. He became a passionate worshiper. The scripture says he was a man after God's own heart. He just loved God with all his heart. And there's this amazing contrast between someone that is a passionate worshiper and someone who stood back aside with a judgmental and critical eye, not focused on God, but focused on man, who would not enter in. And then there was this barrenness, this emptiness that remained in her life. A very sad story, actually, about David and his wife. But I want to talk about us being a passionate worshiper. There's a scripture in Ephesians 5, and I want to look at this. Ephesians 5, chapter 18 to 20. Would have got a little bookmark when you came in. You can follow it along, or you can follow it on the screen, or you can open your own Bible. You've got three ways to follow it along, or you can just listen this morning. And this is what the scripture says. And it says instead. Now, when it says instead, it's probably worth knowing what's it mean. Instead of what? What's it talking about? In before this passage, it talks about don't get drunk with wine. Don't get drunk. Don't be a drunkard. Don't be addicted to wine. Don't fill yourself up with things like that. But he says instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to the Lord, the God, to giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, first of all, it's talking about being filled with the Spirit. And if we're on fire for God, if we're passionate about for God, we're filled with the Spirit. That's what it means to be on fire for God. It's to be full of the Spirit of God, full of His life, full of the things of God, and to have that burning away within our life like a passion. And then in our own human heart, our own human understanding, our own human mind, our own will and emotions is that we're on fire. We're just loving God for who He is with all that we are, just worshiping Him, praising Him, just on fire for God. And so it's that dual aspect. It's being full of the Spirit of God, being filled with the Spirit of God. We had an awesome prayer meeting Friday night. The presence of God strongly there. Great to gather together and pray and let the fire of God be stoked in our hearts. We had a great time. But to be on fire, be filled with the Spirit, but then also in our own heart, loving God with everything that we have and everything that we are. So important that we do that. But when we're filled with the Spirit, there's a response to that. There's a consequence to that. There's something that happens when we're full of the Spirit, something that happens when we are on fire for God. Something happens because we're not the same people anymore. There's something different about us. When you're filled with the Spirit, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Speak to one another. What's an interesting thing? Speak to one another. This is really talking about when you're full of the Spirit, you will gather together. There'll be that corporate expression of worship that as people of God, it's great in your own prayer time. You're loving God and worshiping Him. But the scripture says that when we're filled with the Spirit, when we're on fire for God, we want to come together. And then there's this, the singing of songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Already we've been doing that this morning. And that's a part of the overflow of our love and our passion and our gratitude for our Lord Jesus Christ who gave everything for us upon the cross, upon the salvation that we have, that we're not condemned along with the rest of men, that when we die, we don't have any the fear of hell or what will happen to me, the uncertainty of that. But we have the promise and the surety, the knowledge of eternal life in Christ Jesus, that our sins are forgiven, that we don't have to stand to give God and try to justify ourselves because we know we can't do that. But we stand justified by Christ. Christ, He's the one who speaks on our behalf, and so that we're able to come before the Lord and do that confidently and have that freedom in our life. And so we're filled with the Spirit of God. We speak to one another, coming together, so important. Your corporate worship is so important. The expression of that is really important to one another. We're singing songs that are encouraging to one another, that lift one another up because we're full of the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Interesting. So we're gathered together and we're singing the words, yet they're encouraging. There's that mutual encouragement as we're worshiping the Lord. But in my heart, it's directed to the Lord. I'm loving God with everything that I am. I'm honoring Him. I'm giving Him glory. I'm giving Him honor. I'm loving Him at an overwhelming sense of gratitude in my own heart for all that He has done for me. And that's the heart of worship. Always giving thanks to God. Giving thanks because we are so grateful. We know what would happen to us if we didn't have Jesus in our life. We would know what a mess we would be without Jesus in our life. Trying to work out this life, trying to make sense of this life, trying to work out what is this life about, what happens to me when I die, what is the purpose of life, what is the significance, why am I even here? All of those things, all of those questions are answered and found in Jesus Christ. And so we're always giving thanks to Him, always honoring Him, always having that heart of worship. We know that worship is a lifestyle, that every day, everything that we do is directed to God. But this passage, and we're talking about here, is when we come together as passionate worshipers, worshiping the Lord and giving Him glory, because we're full of the Spirit. If you're on fire, then the natural overflow of that is that we speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, sing and make music in our heart to the Lord, and giving thanks out of a gratitude. That's the heart of a worshiper, passionate worshiper unto the Lord. Be filled with the Spirit. And if we're on fire for God, we will be passionate worshipers. If we're not on fire for God, then we will not be passionate worshipers. That's just how it works. When you're on fire for God, everything within you will want to honor Him and lift you up, lift Him up and praise Him. And worship, what actually do we mean by worship? Worship is that expression, and it is an expression, and it's expression of our allegiance to God. Lord, I'm surrendered to You. Lord, I follow You. Lord, I'm Your child. I have all Your blessing, Your favor. Your life is within me, Lord, and just worshiping God, worshiping for who He is, the Creator of heaven and earth, the One that is holy and worthy and honored to be praised. It's our allegiance to Him, and it's expression of our love for Him. The One who gave us everything. He gave us His own Son to die on the cross in our place for our sin. Instead of us having to be punished, Jesus took it. What an amazing love He's shown us. And so we just love Him back and say, Lord, thank You so much. Thank You so much that Jesus died for me. Thank You so much that I have the promise of eternal life. Thank You that I'm Your child. Thank You, Lord, that You fill me with an abundant life, Lord. Thank You, Lord, You're always there for me, that I'm never on my own, that I don't have to suffer on my own, Lord, that You're there, Lord. You're my healer. Lord, You're my Savior. Lord, You're my best friend. You're my comfort. You're my strength. You're my source. You're everything to me, and we honor Him. That's the heart of worship. It's a part of yielding to God. It's a part of saying, God, I can't do this on my own. Because I wasn't made to do it on my own. I was never created to live life apart from God. I was created to live with God. And it's a yielding, saying, Lord, I can't do this, Lord. I surrender to You, Lord. Lord, You are the Creator of heaven and earth. You made me. You know what is best for me, Lord. And I yield to You. I yield to Your purposes. I yield to Your plan for my life. That's the heart of worship, to be a passionate worship. And so we give everything to God in worship. We give Him our past, our present, our future, our dreams, everything. Say, Lord, I lay it down. And Lord, I just want to honor You with everything that I am. That's the heart of worship. And this scripture talks about being filled with the Spirit. And when we're filled with the Spirit, there's an overflow. We will gather together, speak to one another. So it's not just enough to say, oh, look, I don't have to go to church. I just pray at home on my own. Praise God. Pray on your own. But you've got to be together. We've got to be in the body. We've got to come together to honor Him, to worship Him. In our hearts directed towards God and with a grateful heart. That's the essence, the heart of worship. And so this whole idea about corporate worship is really important. The scripture tells us to come together to worship the Lord. Now remember, when you come to church, when we're singing songs at the beginning of the service, it's not the warm-up act. You know, if you go to a show, if you go to a concert or something, normally they have a band on first to warm everybody up, and then they have the real band gets up there. The one you paid, some people pay $180. I mean, we don't get the money to do that from, but some people pay $180 or whatever it is to see this, but there's always the warm act back. Now, don't have in your mind the worship time is not the warm up act for the message. It's not the secondary thing to the real thing, which is the Word of God. Now, the Word of God is powerful and it's effective and it changes our life. But the worship is where we are coming before God to honor God with everything that we are. That's not a secondary thing. It's not a warm-up act. It's not enough to say, oh, it doesn't matter if I rock in at 10 past because they're just singing the songs. I've missed the whole thing. I've missed the point of it. We're actually changed in worship. Something changes within our heart. When we touch the throne of God, when we touch him, then we are irreversibly changed. Something happens deep within our hearts and within our lives. It says in Psalm 68:26, praise God in the great congregation. I think you guys are great. Praise God in the great congregation. Praise the Lord in the assembly of Israel. Psalm 109:30 says, with my mouth I will greatly extol the Lord. Extol just means to honor him, to lift him up, to glorify him. I will greatly extol the Lord. In the great throng of worshippers, I will praise him. Notice there's a few decision words there. I will do that. I will greatly, and I will. It's up to us. It's your will. It's our will. And so we do that as we gather together. And even Jesus, you know, Jesus, when he was with his disciples, they gathered together and they sang together. It says in Mark 14:26, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out onto the Mount of Olives. Now, this is before Jesus was going off and going off to the garden on the path to being crucified to die in our place for our sin. But Jesus, even when he was with the disciples, they would sing together. There's something about singing together. There's something about worshipping together. There's something very important in doing that. The scripture encourages us to do it. It tells us to do that. But it's also a consequence of being on fire for God is that we want to be together and we want to come and sing and rejoice and lift our heart before the Lord and love him for everything that he is, and to give him glory and honor, because he is a great and mighty God. Amen?
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 Amen.
Okay, sound like you believe that one. Now, sometimes you might think that, well, that's okay, you know, like, but, you know, I want to talk about the importance of us being fully engaged in this process of worshiping. Because you can go to anything as a spectator. I can go to a football match, and if I was sitting there, and maybe we had a couple of irrelevant teams like Hawthorne and West Coast or something, and those teams were there in the match, and some people think I've committed blasphemy by saying that, a couple of teams there in the match, and I'm sitting there, and anybody coming in would watch there, and I'm going there, and someone kicks a goal, I go, oh yeah, good effort, nice goal, the other team, oh yeah, well done, and it'd be quite obvious to anybody that I wasn't really supporting these guys, was I? I'm there, I went to the match, I'm there, and I even, look, clap my hands to get the goal. Well done. Would you think that I was engaged in that? But if I was a crazy person, I barracked for Hawthorne, and I'm sitting there, and I got to go, yes, it's a goal! Oh, wouldn't I do that? Hawthorne people do that. They go crazy. They're slightly crazy people. Now, somebody else coming up and having a look at that would say there, would say, now, who do you think is the one that's really in this thing? Is it me? Or because when you're passionate about something, you are fully engaged in it. It takes you. It gets hold of you. Look, I can get excited too. Look, we had a hole in our roof because we were watching a test match very close in, and there was a wicket, and I went, yes! Put my finger through the roof, and I had to patch that up. But anyway, we can get excited about things. We can get passionate about things. But how are you? How passionate are you about the things of God? How passionate are you about corporate worshiping? Is it with somebody coming in, and when they saw us, would it be nice goal? Or is it, yeah, everything, I'm in there, my heart, my soul, I'm praising God, I'm loving him. Because it says something. There is an expression when we're fully engaged in something. Something flows out of our life. There's an overflow of that. There's something happens when we are fully engaged. Luke 10:27, and this is Jesus saying, Jesus talking, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. There's a lot of all, isn't it? That's everything. Loving God with everything that we have. And if we're loving God with everything we have and we're full of the Spirit of God, then the overflow of that is, Lord, I just love you with everything I am, Lord. I just want to worship you. I want to honor you. It's not like that, is it? There's something within our heart, loving God with everything within my heart. Now, there's many ways that we can worship the Lord together. Now, as I said, worship's a lifestyle. Every day of our life should be under God. Everything we do under God for His glory is worship. But talking about corporate worship, but when we come together, we can sing. Amen? We can lift our hands. We were singing a song. I stand with arms high and heart abandoned. How can you sing that with your hands in your pocket? I don't know. I couldn't do that. It's like, you know, I clap with my hands in my pockets. Like, it doesn't work, does it? I stand. We're worshiping the Lord. We lift our hands up to Him. We can raise our hands. We can bow before the Lord. We might kneel before Him. We might lay in our face before the Lord. There's many forms and expressions of that. But those things aren't to do with your personality. You might say, look, it's all right for you because you're this or that. Well, my personality is quite reserved. I'm not really that, you know, out there sort of Hawthorne supporter type of maniac. Like, I'm not like that. I'm quite personality. It's nothing to do with our personality. It's nothing to do with that. It's to do with the Spirit of God within us. Because we're on fire, we're filled with the Spirit of God, then there is an overflow of worshiping God with all our heart and for who he is. And it doesn't matter about the form. And it's important that we honor God, that we're fully engaged in the process. Now, saying this, I don't want anyone to be looking at someone else and saying, oh, yeah, I noticed. Oh, yeah, he wasn't in his hand. I don't want anybody doing that. It's not about that. This is about you. This message is directed to you, not directed to the person next to you. Don't judge anyone. Some people come to church and their whole body is racked with pain. And for them to even actually come through the door is an incredible act of worship for them because they're in agony when they walk through the door. Now I pray and trust that through the process of worship and honoring God, and God's going to do something within their body, and that's what they've come to honor Him. But don't judge someone. This is not a thing to judge someone else. You don't know what's happening to them. You don't know what their circumstances are. But we can actually honor God to be fully engaged with Him. And my encouragement is, so if there's a physical thing, you know, some people need to sit down because they just can't stand well, don't condemn them. Don't you dare judge them. This is about me and my heart and my response. We need to all think of it in that way. But sometimes out of emotional things, and I said before, there's a lot of I will. But see, sometimes we can, I won't, because of some emotional thing that's happening to me, we can just switch off and disengage. But can I encourage us that if you're feeling down and you're just feeling downcast or struggling, that is the time to honor God and worship Him. Because if you connect with the throne room of God, you connect with the heart of God, with the love of your Father, it changes you, it'll transform you, it changes your heart and your mind. The Psalms are full of that. Psalm 69 and verse 1, and this is the psalmist writing, David writing. He says, save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. Have you ever felt like that? Like the circumstances are, I'm going to drown here, God. This circumstance in my life is just, it's killing me. It's just overwhelming. The waters are like up to my neck. And I'm sure we've all felt like that. We've all had circumstances at times. I think, oh, I'm drowning. I'm going to drown in this, Lord. And then some people make the wrong decision not to come and worship, not to enter in. They'll stay home and have a little pity party and think that somehow is going to help them. But when we come together, when we're feeling like that, so you read through the Psalms, the Psalm 69, you can read through a bunch of the Psalms. A lot of the Psalms he's saying starts off, woe is me. Lord, this is really tough. I'm going through some real issues here. This is really tough. This one, he says, I feel like I'm going to drown. It's over my head. But all of them in the process, he always says, but I will worship the Lord. But I will worship the Lord. And he says that. And by the end of the psalm, there's a changed heart. There's something that's turned around. And he says, I will praise God. So verse 30, verse 1, I'm dying here, God. The water's up to my neck. And woe is me. You can read that. Several verses are woe is me. But he finishes towards the end. He says, I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. See, there's a change. Something changes when the presence of God. And so if you're ever feeling down or discouraged or struggling, where is the best place to be? Where is really the only place to be is to be in the presence of God. And if there's opportunity to gather together with your brothers and sisters, don't miss out on that. Gather together, and as you're worshiping God, and it may be an effort of will, it may be a sacrifice of praise, Lord, because I don't feel like it. I feel down, I feel distressed, I feel discouraged, and I may be in pain, and I may be emotional pain, maybe physical, and it may be a real effort. But if you push through that, you push through that, by the end of it, you, Lord, I will give you thanks, Lord. I praise you, Lord. Something changes in the process of worship. And so don't be one that says, I'm going through a tough time, I'm going to dig a hole and bury myself in it. It's not going to help anyway. But coming into the presence of God, allowing God to speak to us, it changes us. It changes us. It might not change what's happening to you. It might not make your boss suddenly turn around and be Mr. Nice Guy. It might not do that. But something changes within your own heart, your own response to the circumstance and the situation that we're going through. Something changes. And there's something about praising God. I talked about a sacrifice. Hebrews 13:15 says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And so there's a mouth that's beginning to talk, and it's sometimes a sacrifice. Sometimes it ain't easy. It's not always easy, but sometimes we have to just push through our own humanity into the realm of the Spirit, because we're full of the Spirit of God. Push aside all the human stuff of our emotion and those things, and allow our emotions actually to be touched of God, that we actually change the way that we feel, change the way we think. There's something transformative about worship when we truly enter into worship. And that's the encouragement for all of us, is to enter in to worship. And our body language is really important. Just last thing I want to say about this is the outward expression is really important. Now, they'll tell you that body language is a significant amount of our communication, a significant amount of it. And there's different percentages, say 40 to 60% of what you're saying depends on your body language. So if you go up to your wife and say, wife, I really love you. I really do. With everything that I have, Lord, you just mean everything to me. Just, you know, you're really special. I love you so much. Thank you. What does that say? Or if I'm saying, I really love you. Yeah, I do. What does that say? And yet some of us, sometimes we can do that in worship of God, of Creator of heaven and earth. All that moving around. I've just lost my microphone there. The Creator of heaven and earth. And yet, we can do that to him. We would say that would be very insulting to do that to our spouse, to our husband, to our wife, to anyone that we said that we love them. Our body language would be, and that's actually insulting, isn't it? Would you take that as an insult if I came up to you and said, oh, I really love you? You'd think, no, you don't. You'd be, what are you saying? What are you doing? You'd be quite amazed at me behaving in such a way. And yet, sometimes we can do that before God. The Creator of heaven and earth, the one who gave Jesus, who gave us eternal life, and yet we're not fully engaged with him and not giving everything to him. Some people think, oh, well, you know, it's all right for the women. What about the men? I'll tell you what, you see these men who actually win a football match. They're getting around in the circle. None of them can sing. They sound like a bunch of cows singing. But anyway, they're all there and they're all singing their arms shoulder to shoulder, and they're singing the football, you know, the anthem of the song, the theme song or whatever it is. Club song, and that they're singing it. You see men going off to war. Man, they're singing there. I've seen Marines getting ready. They're all there singing together. These are Marines. You get people that are in the armed forces. Those guys are singing. They're singing their heart out. It's not an unmanly thing. It's actually a very manly thing to be honoring and to lifting up your voice to God. And as I said, it's nothing to do with your personality. You might say, well, I was brought up reserved, and you know, my background is that we don't really express ourselves emotionally. Nothing to do with that. It's just to do with the Spirit of God and loving God with everything you have and honoring him and making the choice to worship him, to be fully engaged as an outward expression of that. 1 Corinthians 16, 19 and 20, it says, do you not know that your body, so you give your life to Christ, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit come within it, God himself coming and dwelling within our heart. What an amazing thing, dwelling in our lives. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is who is in you, you whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You're bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Around communion, we were told that. Don't let our body be used for instrument of unrighteousness, but honor God with our body. And we can do that in corporate worship. Not every day of our life we can honor God by living a pure life, but we honor God with our bodies. We come together. Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in a view of God's mercy, in the view of the fact that Jesus died on the cross, in my place, in your place, for our sins, so we don't have to suffer punishment, but we can instead have eternal life and the blessing and the favor of God in this life and the life to come. What a deal. In view of God's mercy, to offer your body as a living sacrifice. See, we're not into the Old Testament stuff of sacrificing bulls and a whole lot of religion and religious ritual stuff. We're not into a whole lot of stuff. We're not into religion. We're not into ritual and doing all a whole lot of stuff that's religious. We're out of expressing our heart of generosity, of gratitude and love for God. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And so there's got to be something that happens when we're worshiping God together. We can't actually be in neutral. We can't be disengaged. And even if it's a struggle because of some emotional issues or whatever the issues are, then you say, I will praise the Lord. I will, and I'll do that as I honor him, as I lift, push away all of the discouragement, the pain, whatever it is, and God actually does something in our life, does an amazing things in our life when we worship God. It's an amazing thing. When you touch the heart of God and be loved of God. And some people say, well, I just can't enter in. Well, you can. You're just choosing not to. It's a choice. And how you come to a church service and how you go home, what's different in between depends on one person. And you don't have to look any further than the mirror. It's you. It's not about the worship leader, not about the music team, not about the communion message or anything else, not about the message, the preaching. It's about me. What was my heart like? Was I yielded? Was I soft, Lord? Did I love you with everything as it was? Did I hear what you were saying to me, Lord? Was I listening? Was I fully engaged? Or was I, Michelle, was I just back here and just saying, you know, look at David, you know? Or was I David, oh, I love you with everything that you are and just honoring him and was I passionately engaged? So we've got a choice where we want to be. But people that are on fire, we read right at the very beginning, it says, be filled with the Spirit, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music to your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we all have a choice. We have a choice whether we reject Christ or whether we receive them. I hope we've all come to the place of receiving Jesus, because that's the first thing, to come and surrender your life, say, I need Jesus in my life. I want what he did on the cross. It's great. I want it to mean something for me. I want to give my life. We all need to do that. But then there's the ongoing daily walk, yes, which is all a part of our worship, doing everything unto God. But coming together with all and loving God with all our heart. We cannot be in neutral. We cannot be disengaged. There's something wrong inside our heart if we are disengaged. There is something wrong inside of us. Now, as I said, this is not for anyone to judge anyone else. It's not to look at someone else and say, oh, buddy, you've got a problem. No, this is the Lord saying to me, Chris, you've got a problem. You need to deal with something in your life. This is about all of our own hearts, that we're full of the Spirit of God, and the overflow is I'm just going to worship God and love God. Nothing to do with our personality, nothing to do with our upbringing, because we've got the Spirit of God within us. We're a believer. We have Christ in our heart. Then there's an overflow. Lord, I'm just going to worship you. And I'm going to lift my hands and I'm going to sing, I stand with my hands in my pockets. So I'm not going to not enter in, Lord. I'm going to be enter in. I'm going to enter into those things. Nothing to do with personality. And even if I don't feel like it, Lord, I'm going to choose. I will. Lord, I will. And if it's a sacrifice, then I will make that sacrifice. And really, how hard is it really? How hard? Not really a real sacrifice in the sense of being a big sacrifice. And so we enter in together. Something wonderful is released among us. You know, signs and wonders and miracles, healings. We've got a bunch of people that gather together, corporately honoring God, worshiping, loving him with everything that they have. Not a spectator. Now, people that are coming in, people who don't know Jesus, well, they're going to be looking, thinking, man, I don't know what you guys are doing, but yeah, it seems all right. Yeah, I'm not quite sure, but yeah, it's okay. Seems all right. Seems pretty cool. Yeah, it's all right. But for us that know Jesus, we're in there. We're not thinking about anyone else. We're not judging anyone else. We're not looking at anyone else. But with my own heart before my Father in heaven that I'm related to because of Jesus Christ, I'm just going to love him with everything I am. That's the essence and the heart of worship. And so can I encourage us to be passionate worshippers, to be passionate worshippers. It engages us completely, fully engaged. We're not thinking about what's for lunch. We're not thinking about what, you know, to leave the iron on this morning or whatever else. Just put everything out and say, no, Lord, I'm taking everything now unto you, Lord, and I'm just going to love you and be loved of you. I'm not working looking at him. Oh, they're late. Oh, is he? No, I'm not looking around at people. I'm just worshiping God with everything that I am. That's the heart of worship. And let's see God do amazing things as we come with such a heart. Allow God to change your life. That's why we come together, is that, yep, the preaching of the word can penetrate deep into our heart, but the worship, which, as I said, not the warm-up act, God himself will drop things in our heart. Some of the most profound things that God has ever said to me is not when I was on my knees off seeking the Lord somewhere. It's actually when I was right here in the service here. God has spoken things directly into my heart. He's encouraged me when I needed encouragement. When I needed direction, he's given me direction. When I needed inspiration, he's given me. He's done that as we're together, because we unlock something together. So important. So I'm going to stand at our feet and we're going to pray. And we're going to close with a song. Just one final scripture, Psalm 47 verse 1. It says, clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with voices of joy. Amen. And so we're going to praise the Lord. We're going to worship him together. If you've come this morning and you need some prayer, I'd love to pray with you this morning. If you've never come and said, I want Jesus in my life, I've never actually given my life to Christ, I've seen sort of and I heard a couple of things, but I've never actually done that, then I'd love you to come. I'll be standing here. I'd love to pray for you that you'll come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to sing this song. We're going to pray for some people. Then we're going to have an opportunity for those who do want to give to the trip for Tagum, that we've got money to take to bless the needs that are over there. We'll have the stewards who will be available to do that in just a moment. But let's just pray and be ready just to let the Lord touch our hearts. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you're a mighty God who loves us so much. Father, even as we sang in that song, it said, what can I say? What can I do but offer this heart of mine completely to you? Lord, once we stand in, we have to stand in awe of you. What can I say, Lord, but to honor you, to declare that you're my Lord, to love you with everything that I am, to give you glory, Lord, because you're worth it, Lord. You're worthy. You're worth it. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, for just a lifting in our hearts for worship, Lord, as we gather together. Lord, that we'd not be ones that are on the side, but Lord, we'd be like David's, Lord, that we'd love you passionately, worship you, true worshippers, Lord, who honor you with everything that we have, everything that we are, Lord, and give you glory, Father. Lord, let that spirit and heart of worship be released upon us afresh, Father, in Jesus' name, upon every heart. Lord, that we're not spectators, but Lord, we're participators, Lord, and that you change our lives through that process of worshiping and honoring you together. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your presence among us. In Jesus' name. I'm going to stand here if you want prayer, particularly if you haven't given your heart to Jesus.